Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Wednesday evening, October the 27th, 2005. Chris Simpson of New Wine Christian Fellowship in Pasadena, Texas, is the speaker of this service. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
She, a pastor friend called me and asked if we meet with her and my wife, of course, to minister because she was had uterus cancer. And she was getting ready to go to Houston for the last biopsy, I think, and then surgery. And so I sent her down. I said, well, this lady in her 30s. I think we were 40 at that time. So we began to ask some questions. I said, what do you do? So I work for this Easterner who has a medical practice. And I said, you do? And I said, are they Christians? Well, no, they got all their idols all over, and they pray to their God, and that don't work real, Andrew, so I pray to Jesus, show them that God moves. I said, oh, you do? So you pray, because their gods don't work, you pray to our God to bless their business. I said, you're there! Boy, she looked at me, and I began to go through the Word of God, showing her that we're not in competition with the deity. The deity is in competition with us. And I began to express to her that the error and her jaw placement and what she had taken on was not of the Lord. This was personally. And she got real flushed in her face. She was humble. She received the correction. And I didn't know she was bleeding because that information was not given to me by my wife. But I knew she had a cancerous type thing, situation. And she came back out of the bathroom and told my wife she had stopped bleeding. It had been bleeding for months, I guess. And I said, and so then my wife told me. So then that was my first time knowing that. And of course, we went through other scriptures in Ezekiel and different places about being polluted in the blood. We went through the whole ministry to her. And I told her to get back within a week. We'd like to fellowship and get to know her more better. And three or four days later, she called. She said she went to Houston, and she said the biopsy was positive. No, I said positive. I said, well, good. That's a great witness. She said, oh, no, but when they told me, she said, I started bleeding again. I said, well, then you were faithless. I said, come on back. And so she came back, and we explained what had happened, prayed for her, the bleeding stopped, and to my knowledge, and I just said to my knowledge, but my understanding was I just haven't made contact with her in over 5 or 6 years. She never did need the surgery. My own sister, because she'll hear this tape too, my own sister, Belinda, she was polluted in her blood with endometriosis. I always have a problem with that word. But anyway, she had that. And my mama called me and said, you need to get over here. Belinda's having problems. She's bleeding, getting ready to take her to Galveston for the surgery. And I prayed for her, not expecting that I knew anything, but that God knows all things. I went against the demons cast in my sister never to this day has never had to have surgery. And she always talking to people about it. And she, every once in a while she'll bring up to me and I just say, and then, but God, she said, well, I know Jim, I know. And she came to the law. Her husband is a minister. He was on the streets, gangster. They called him Wine. That's my family though. I love him. The daughter grew up, finished college. Man, we was out there in the world. I'm telling you, people, you don't have a clue. Paul, you think Paul was bad? I was worse than Paul. I believe I was. I was murdering Christians too, with my mouth. Okay, but anyway. Blood, of course, is the sight of the soul. For the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. The blood contains every facet of our soul, intellect, memory, emotions, and the will. And outflowing of blood is what I'm trying to tell you about. Bleeding may reflect a loss of power in the soul, in whatever part of the body that is bleeding. This normally indicates, of course, attack from the spirit of death. If we have been given or taken blood in the past also, we should pray about it being the cause of delayed healing because we've never prayed over the blood that we've received. And Vedas I had to come in when we received the blood, if we received blood through surgery or something, because they have to give you certain medications in order to compromise your immune system so you can receive the blood. So you do have to pray about it. Okay, you need to break the curses. We have so many people today eating hot peppers and having urges for snicker bars and stuff because they got blood or received body parts or received tweeted hair. You know, I've never liked peppers. No, I can't. I love peppers. You know, the bones represent the spirit part of us, the substructure of life, the support and configurations of the being. The bone marrow is the site of the beginning of life and of the blood. Now, red blood cells are born within the bone. And the Bible has many things to say about bones. Bones speak of course, the eternal life. In Proverbs, the 14th chapter, I'm going to try to cut back on the testimony. I felt like I didn't have enough information to share with you. I said, well, I'll just, at the Lord's will, I'll load it up with testimonies. Now, don't look like I'm going to finish. Okay. The testimony is powerful. It glorifies God. It edifies the body and horrifies the devil. Amen. So in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 30, it says, the sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy and the rottenness of the bones, tuberculosis, cancer, anything that's destroying the bones is rooted in, some scriptures allude to the fact that envy and jealousy. Then you look at the consequences of grief and depression and fear in Psalms 31 could be the problems of bone cancers and rottenness of the bones. Psalms 31, verse 10, the scripture says, for my life is spent with grief, my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. So that's a type of tuberculosis. You can find that in Deuteronomy 28, bone cancer. Then that I had an unfaithful wife and can cause the drying of or rottenness of the bones in Proverbs 12, chapter verse 4. So you just do a study on bones. I had an individual that was in our assembly and he had some problems. They had marital problems, husband and wife, and three or four children. And they didn't last long. I love them so much, but they didn't last long there, not because of any part of our part, but maybe the words to them out, but I didn't do anything. They had a divorce, and that was something wrong, because one day I came into the service on a Sunday morning, the individual walked up to me and said, you didn't speak to me, and he was mad. And I just didn't speak to him. Well, there'd be a lot of people mad at me at that, but my mind be somewhere else sometime. I'd be... So, anyway, one day, I was looking in the back of the auditorium, and I saw one of his sons had a broken arm. And the Spirit told me, broken relationship, divorce, imminent. And that's what happened. I didn't tell them that. I tried to start working with them, you know, even more so. But it didn't, they were already, the sign was there. I already saw it in the Spirit as far as the relationship. But the broken arm to one of the sons was a clear indication, now this wasn't going to be a separation. This was a divorce. Now, could I tell anybody that? Nah. It's just things you hold on to for 7-8 years and you teach it at a workshop. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, so that we can save time, I'll suggest that you read the 11th verse through the 16th, and I'm only going to concentrate on one or more verses. Let's see, I'll look at the verse 16. As it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I would like to talk a little bit about the joints. I believe that they are symbolic of relationships, our joints. And that the way people fit together, the way people relate. God wants us to be fitly joined together and compacted as the body of Christ. So, one thing that I can remember is one of my teachers, she was teaching and telling us about her husband that told her because she walked so fast and that she needs to start wearing her slippers. At that time, that trial was approaching the early 60s, early 60s, 61, 62. And I could be off a little bit on that, but anyway, and I'm not ready to call her name. It's no big name, because she'll tell you too, because she loves other people. And so, they were having a wedding coming up that Saturday with their son. And a couple of days before the wedding, a day after he had told her to start wearing slippers, she didn't wear the slippers. And her little pinky toe hit the door and was dislocated. So they went to their family doctor or friend, competent workers and deliverers, but they went and got x-rays to see exactly what the problem was, and their personal doctor wasn't there. So that must have been the Friday, because they had to go back Monday. And it's just a little toe, and I've seen people in my work that have dislocated toes. They don't normally put a cast on or anything like that. All right? And so, the next day, after she limped down the aisle at her son's wedding, of course, she already repented to her husband. She said, "Nancy, I'm so sorry. I disobeyed you. You told me to do this." Okay, what's wrong with that? But anyway, later that night, after the wedding was over with, in worship, God reset her toe. And she ran at him and said, Dempsey, look, God, God. Like that. Alright, so they couldn't wait till Monday because they had to go to the doctor's office. They had already took the x-rays. Doctor put the x-rays up. They say she wore the high heel shoes she had. And the doctor had to say, "Yes, you got this okay and this stuff." She said, and the doctor says, "Did she say, look, haven't you seen these high heel shoes? God help me." Now, some of us probably never would have showed up. So that's okay, we're free anyway. Now, that was a great opportunity to go and win that man to the Lord. Yeah. And many of you have heard such teachings as this, as on bones being set by the Lord. Amen? It's not uncommon. Now, on the other hand, joint diseases like arthritis are often based in dysfunctional relationships. If the joints hurt, the joints are going to hurt. And we tend to associate arthritis with unforgiveness, bitterness, or generational curses. So we talk about joinings, and so we need to really look at how these people relate to others, how they relate to leadership, and work in that aspect to help escalate or expedite their healing instead of just marrying in on bitterness and unforgiveness. They also got to start working on how to relate to people. That means you need to know how to relate to people. And I don't do good sometimes, man. My wife would tell you. But anyway, she's out here, so I can get away with it. She'd be the old one out there saying, "He's right." The kidneys are called the reins of the heart. However, in Jeremiah 17, chapter verse 10, the reins in the King James Version means actual kidney, not heart. It actually means kidney when you do the translations. What does kidneys do? They eliminate poisons. They stop the whole from going through, right? They wash. So the kidneys filter our poisons, which is symbolic of being cleansed by God's Word. So if we persist in wrong choices, taking an accumulation of some kind of spiritual poison, don't want to change what God is trying to add and mature our ministries and additional directions so that we can be competent as ministers. We just want to hold on to the fact that all you need to do is be baptized in the name. Or whatever. Okay? This could be the root illness in that area. Well, it could. Now, the shoulders denote government. Also, burdens and responsibilities. And possible pain in the area, in this area, could be due to burdens that you've not been called to bear. Back, the back, this is a good one, I've had some problems here, relates to punishment. In Proverbs, the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, verse 3, mine happened when I was placed in charge of our company's railroad facility, and I had only been working for them a couple of years. And this was a high-paying position, and all normally people with many years of seniority had it, and I just said, "Boy, I must be pretty good." Yeah, and I got psychiatric nerve damage, trauma, and been over for about a month, and I just said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. Making $10,000 a month at that time, I was working all overtime. It should be 26:3. Proverbs 26:3. We're going to repent over this one later if we finish the time. A whip for a horse, a bridle for an ass, and a rod for a fool's back. Well, we need to repent over that because I need to repent over that. I was in a meeting up in Lindale. Well, I was in Tyler 3 weeks ago, and this person was prophesying. He walked up to me twice and walked and said, I got healing you. I said, nobody didn't even know I was hurting. They didn't have a clue. I flew up to Atlanta and went up to Queens, New York, and my wife could tell you I could only go 25 feet at a time. I had to rest. They actually took me and put me in a wheelchair in Atlanta. But I wouldn't complain, and I just went about God's mission. Lost my wallet, $1,000 in cash, nobody knew nothing. Most people would have bust up there the first night and say, guess what? I lost my money. Everybody's going to help me. Well, I know the issue that had nothing to do with them. The issue was with me. The back relates to punishment. There are many scriptures pertaining to the back. Back trouble can mean rejection of light, turning back, backsliding, but pain and dislocation of the back can also mean wrong burdens, false burdens, burdens that are not from the Lord, or other people's burdens we have picked up. God gives grace and anointing to carry any burden. He says, come unto me, Matthew 11:28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Remember we talked about yokes earlier in Deuteronomy 28? And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just a moment on the immune system, and we're trying to move faster. Doc mentioned this morning, I think, or yesterday, about stress and tension and anxiety and fear and worry. They are our enemies. God created our immune system to maintain our bodies. God created your bodies to be able to fight the invaders.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. And when we permit worry to continue to have dominion in our Christian lifestyles, it will permit a breach in our souls or our immune systems. So in all autoimmune diseases, the white corpuscles, the white corpuscles decide that a part of your body is the invading enemy and needs to be destroyed. Now, an example of that, would be a lady that Henry Wright took her picture around the country last year or 2 years ago that had, I can't remember the diagnosis, but she had this incurable skin disease and her face was totally disfigured. All right, and when she came to him and to the ministry, and her problem was self-hatred. She really didn't like herself. She hated herself, and after ministry, she understood that she was in error, repenting of self-hatred, and she learned how God saw her and who He saw and the love He had for her, and she was healed. And then they took pictures 30 days later. They progressively took pictures. And it was on Seth Groff television show showing the pictures of the lady who had an incurable cancer healed on her face. Now, I can't think of the name, but it's called, it's an incurable cancer. And so this lady is alive today, and they had the pictures to prove it, and Seth Groff did it on a talk show. And I got the actual video footage from the talk show. So that, when we have self-hatred, that invader, it's looking for a part of our body to go and destroy. Now, there are some biblical references to diseases, and the book of Job, the 7th chapter, verse 3, scripture says that, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me, sleep disorders, which leads to despair. One frequent cause of sleep disorders that we've found is having previously received anesthesia. We don't think about this. We had surgery 20 years ago. We don't think about it when people come to us with sleep disorder. We just talk to them about the scripture where God said the sleep is supposed to be about and pray for them and believe God to do the miracle, but we don't ever get them to repent over the scriptures that, yes, I've received anesthesia. So, drugs which induce anesthesia can leave a residue sleep disorder or an evil spirit. And so this is why we take our time and we talk to people when we have the opportunity. If I'm in the Caribbean or Mexico or Africa, We don't have to do all of that. Okay? God will meet the anointing of the evangelist for the hour and meet the needs of the people like that. When you're in-house, it's time to search and destroy because you're making a disciple that's going to do the same thing one day to do something for somebody else or something. But all he knows is the way of the world, and he can become, I don't want to name any popular evangelist, he's going to become a worldwide evangelist type with two people at his house every week or at her house every week and never really get to the spiritual roots of the problems.
Okay.
Infections. Leaven. Yeast in a state of fermentation is a symbol of hidden and pervasive influences. Someone called the house a few weeks ago, I think, maybe a month ago, and asked my wife, and my wife hollered, I said, Jim, what does infection mean? And I just told them, exactly this way, hidden pervasive influence. And they said, okay. And then they went on back there and started talking and praying on the phone. I never asked me nothing else after that. Take one to know one. You know, I didn't have this about everything. Yes, infections, leaven, or yeast in a state of fermentation is a symbol of hidden pervasive influence. Now, natural leaven might be abominations in your home, such as in Deuteronomy 7, chapter verse 26, when God was speaking to the Israelites by going to the promised land, not taking on their idols and destroying those abominable things. So that's a natural type leaven. Things like statues, drugs, paraphernalia connected with false religions, the occult, pornography, ungodly music, movies, stolen articles, and much more. Now, spiritual leaven would include religious externalism, unbelief in the supernatural. Oh, that's good. All right. Take my time through this one. Religious externalism, unbelief in the supernatural. A person could be fearful or attacked and have not have belief that God's going to help them. Like daddy might be gone or passing, you know, whatever, something like that. Okay. All right. I'll say that for a reason because someone asked me a question a day or so ago. All right. And worldliness, compromise, infectious sin, false doctrine. So both natural and spiritual leaven can produce vaginal yeast infections, fungal infections of the skin, athlete's foot, ringworm, certain scab conditions, earaches in children. If the natural body manifests a yeast infection, that parallel within the dwelling, either in the natural home or the spiritual abode. Eye problems, which cause tearing, pink eye, can come from grief and sorrow. Proverbs 30, chapter verse 17 says that if you don't honor your father and you despise your mother, that the ravens of the air shall come and eat, poke out your eyes and the eagles will eat them. Okay, so for not honoring your mother and father, it could be a major root cause to problems with spiritual blindness or even major eye disease. In Psalms 73, verse 7, it talks about pride and the pride of the wicked. It refers to worldly foolishness, being fooled in the world, in a worldly sense, and this can relate and does relate to a type of puffed up Christian. So in Proverbs 73, verse 7, it says, their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than they could wish. People, the diagnosis of glaucoma is pressure behind the eyes. I'm working with an individual right now with whatever that disease starts with. Can I keep going? Okay, all right. Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
While you folks are sitting here, it occurs to me, Lord, I think it's in my mind, television is going to bring on infections because of all of the
You're welcome, brother, and thank you. I know you're a man of God, a man under authority, so that's why I didn't have a problem if you had something. The Bible says in Psalms 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside and shall not cleave unto me. We get soul ties in a lot of those television programs, exactly. And it can lead to eye problems. I think we're going to make it. Praise the Lord. We're going to make it, all right? It's a lot more parallels, but the key is to kind of give you a little um, taste, yes, yeah, a good word, or I've got to be careful what I say. And an encouragement also to now begin to study the spiritual parallels instead of just saying, all right, we go, cast out demon folk. We need to make disciples, and the way we make disciples is to get them to help us search the scriptures before their conditions. And they're going to remember that when the person comes to them in a few years, that they become disciples, to take time out and teach them how to search the scriptures. Instead of just saying, thank God for that, he knows how to get that demon out of me. I don't have an immediate reference, but I know bleeding is a loss of the soul, significant of a dead spirit, which we've already covered. Bleeding of the eyes, outside.
Inside.
Yeah, so the hemorrhaging, I don't know. I would study the aspect of that in the scriptures, the hemorrhaging. I would look for all different aspects before I could. I don't know. Okay? I don't know. That's a good one. I'll tell you what I would do. I would entertain a comment from the person like that and then get back with them. I'd go find a medical reference and whatever I have to do. Pancreas do what?
What would we put in under?
Yeah, on the sugar, sweet and bitter. Is that right? Yeah, okay. It's supposed to produce sugar. So if it's not sugar, then we're sour. That lady there's a woman that got to teach you. I put a Bible book too. She got some good ones. Y'all need to talk to her.
Find that word in the
Bible. Yeah, in Deuteronomy. Okay. And, you might see me later. I think I can find it in Deuteronomy 28. I know it's in there because I got it. Amen. Amen. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 22, I know we're all familiar with this. It is God that revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Amen? So, if we turn to God in our affliction, and if we trust him, he's going to reveal to us the true roots of our problems. And I'm speaking to us as ministers that are ministering to other individuals. Remember, it's the truth that we know that sets us free. It's the truth that we know. How many Christians turn to God when they're going through a battle and truly desire that the whole root is removed? I can tell you, very few. Most will be satisfied with a bandage and a quick fix and be associated with some great work or minister. We need to earnestly seek to know what God's Word says, how he feels, what he thinks about situations that are occurring in our lives, and not assume anything. Proverbs, the 25th chapter, the second verse, very important scripture. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. So the question is today, when we minister to others, are we encouraging them to search out the matters in their lives? Who reveals the hidden things in their lives or in our lives? Who reveals the sin and shows us the necessary scriptures to be healed and delivered of? It's the Lord. But do we turn to God? Do we turn to the Word of God to find the root of our physical infirmities? Many times we only cast out the infantry and the spiritual roots still remain. We let the general stay. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 20, and I'm almost finished, it says that, my son, attend unto my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in thy midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health, this word here, health means curative medicine, to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are we searching the issues of our life? People needing healing or dealing with a physical infirmity is an issue. So we have to search the scriptures, and we have to pray and repent over the scriptures. The reference here is in Proverbs, the 26th chapter, verse 3, when I mentioned to you before. Father, I come before you, and I ask you to forgive me. Because, no different than a horse, I have not bridled my mouth. I've conducted myself as a fool. I've turned my back upon you a number of times, God. forgive me, God. I ask you for rejecting the light. Dr. Lowe tried to tell me last year, but I shrugged it off. I turned back, and this was a type of backsliding. Forgive me, Father, for the false burdens and burdens that you have not called me to bear, that I bear. And I ask you, forgive me for being a fool. In Jesus' name. Now, I break the curses as a result of this. I bind the demons that were loosened to my back. And the pain spirits, the dislocation of the back, the difficulty, the spirits that wrapped around my nerves. I command all of you to go out in Jesus' name, and I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've repented over the scriptures. In Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. So now, what happens when you're not fit for the kingdom? You're going to get a crooked walk. It can lead to back problems and other infirmities. Father, forgive me for compromising, for not pursuing the work you called me to do, for getting offended because somebody tried to reprove me, and turning my back on assistant leadership or assisting my pastor with help. Instead, I backslid, and I backed up and said I wasn't going to do nothing because the man of God reproved me. And now I have this infirmity, and I thank you, God, for showing me this. I repent of it, and then break the curses, bind the demons, throw them out. But you ain't as needed this thing, doing this. So the list goes on and on and on. Make it a practice in searching the natural and spiritual parallels, and in the battle for ourselves, in the battles that you fight for others, remember, we study, we pray, we meditate, we repent. Sooner or later, something's going to be illuminated. Something will click it by way of the Holy Spirit, and we'll know the next step on our road to healing. Those who would like to participate, I ask you to repeat after me. Dear Lord, I believe in the whole scripture of truth.
I believe in the whole scripture of truth.
And the whole of God's revealed will.
And the whole of God's revealed will.
All that is sacrifice provided.
All that is sacrifice provided.
All that is high priesthood covers.
All that is high priesthood covers.
I confess that my redemption, is complete.
Is complete.
And Satan's dominion over me,
is ended.
I rebuke
and
renounce him,
as a liar,
false God.
False God.
I forsake
all allegiance to him.
I worship the Lord,
my God,
and him only
will I serve.
I confess.
And repent.
And ask forgiveness
for
the sins of my parents, of my ancestors.
I also
ask that you would forgive me and cause
my seed
to forgive me
if I
have
perpetrated
any generational curses.
I do this.
So that the power of these curses
can
be broken over me
and my family
line.
In
Jesus' name,
by
his blood,
I now take the sword of the Spirit,
which is the word of God.
I go back to Adam and Eve
on both sides of my mother's
and
father's side
of
my family.
I cut
and sever,
loose
myself,
my seed,
all future seed,
from all evil,
Christ-hating
curses,
resulting from my own sins,
and
the sins of my forefathers,
or
ancestors.
I break the curses
of my father's altars.
I take authority
of generation infirmities,
cancel their orders
against my seed,
against me,
in the name of Jesus.
I bind him
and command him to go.
In Jesus' name,
I bind the strong man
of
sin and death,
death and destruction,
death and hell,
over all curses
inflicted upon me.
I also bind the power
of these curses,
and I now cut,
sever,
break
and loose myself
from all evil curses,
all
obstinate,
all
buried
curses,
charms, hexes, vexes, spells, jinxes, psychic powers, psychic or manipulative prayers, bewitchments, witchcraft, sorcery, enchantments, incantations, voodoo, jujus, white or black magic, mukumba, santeria, alamante, mischief, covenants, portions, and omens, all mind control, occult mind control, witchcraft control, soul power, all human spirits, familiar spirits, and spoken word curses coming against me with all hatred and anger. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I cut and sever, break and loose myself and my family from all these curses. I do this in Jesus' name.
I do this in Jesus' name.
And by His shed blood.
By His shed blood.
I now declare all these curses coming against me.
All these curses coming against me.
To be broken.
I sever
them.
All of the infirmity spirits.
Coming down my family line. Through me.
Through
my seed. I cancel that
water.
I nail it to the cross. In the name of Jesus. I give it to Jesus.
I speak healing.
Restoration. Because of the finished works. Of our great high priest.
Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
I renounce all ungodly soul ties.
Formed with ungodly sexual relationships. Controlling relatives.
Friends and teachers.
Doctors. Psychiatrists. Midwives. Christian leaders.
I renounce
all ungodly soul ties. Any ungodly soul ties. Formed. With the occult, religious environments. By the way, when I was a Pentecostal, I was a cult because I denied the deity of Jesus. Okay. With all idol worship, in Jesus' name, I renounce all ungodly soul ties. Formed with all binding oaths, sworn agreements made with any ungodly secret. Or non-secret organizations, lodges, clubs, sororities, fraternities. I renounce all ungodly soul ties formed with the dead. I repent of my forefathers that didn't have the authority to minister to the dead in preparation for burial. Those that fell in love and hog the corpse. Develop ungodly soul ties. They didn't have permission to minister to the dead. Prepare them for burial. So the spirits that transferred to them, they're on me. I repent of it. I ask you to forgive me. If I was improper in hugging, kissing the corpse of a beloved one who's gone to be with you. Because only people, certain people, were given a certain amount of time and a certain amount of responsibility to prepare our deceased for burial. And then there was a time of consecration afterwards. So I want to break those soul ties now for my ancestors, and I want to cancel the orders this day. In Jesus' name. So I take authority of the attack of the spirit of infirmity, those deceased loved ones' sicknesses, those deceased loved ones' diseases, or any other person that my ancestors improperly touched at funerals, at wakes, at burials, in hell of the dead, that came upon my seat, upon me, and upon my seat. I cancel it today. In Jesus' name. I call back from him the fragments of my soul and my spirit. I send back to them
them, the fragments of their soul and their spirit. This day, we exchange their images for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. I ask that you just listen for a moment and not say anything. Say in the name of Jesus, I'm attacking from my position in the third heaven, where we're seated spiritually in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I exercise the power and authority that has been given us, and I come against every principality and power, and in the classifications of infirmities and all associated spirits, by the blood of the Lamb, by the name of Jesus, the authority as believers, the unity of our spirits, and the Word of God. So in Jesus' name, I bind all strong men, commanders and legions, ruler demons, lesser demons, servant demons, underlying spirits. I bind all co-hosts, all doorkeeper spirits that are harassing those that are willful and desiring of help, keeping us in bondage. I bind those powers. I command every foul spirit of infirmity, lodged and rank and file, start leaving the people in a decent and orderly fashion. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I cut sever every evil spirit of infirmity from Satan, from other spirits, so you can't hang on to one another for comfort, for support. I also cut you asunder from every part of the mind, soul, emotion, from all the five senses that we know of and those that are unknown. I cut and sever you infirmities from all the muscles, ligaments, tendons, nerves, sinews, tissues, from the vertebrae, from the disc, all the portions of the spinal cord, from every organ, every limb. And we wash you and purge you from every area of the body with the blood of Jesus. I also sever between the conscious, the unconscious, subconscious, so all things of the past can be released. I bind and stir up the power of demons, the strong men, the ruler demons in every part of the mind, soul, and body. I throw confusion, weakness, and rank. I command every demon in the category of infirmity to come out of darkness into light. In Jesus' name, I bind all of this perfect spirit directed to the authority of Jesus Christ, His divine judgment. In Jesus' name, I command everyone of you to leave, you'll go. You'll take the mirrors, the roots, the scars, the works, the deaths, and all of the habits. In Jesus' name, every principality and power, every spirit working in epilepsy, generational epilepsy, you got to go in Jesus' name. Immune system disorders, autoimmune diseases, you got to go. All the Crohn's, all the ulcers got to go. Diabetes, go. Lupus, go. Generational lupus, I break your power. Multiple sclerosis, go. Rheumatoid arthritis, autism, we break your power off our seed. We break its power off Parkinson's disease. All the addictions, insanity spirits with Alzheimer's and all that's got to go in Jesus' name. The cholesterol problems of high and low cholesterol, shingles, hives, acne, ovarian cysts, breast cysts, systolic acne, all of those spirits, you got to go. All of the herpes spirits, all of the various viruses. We know there's a strong man, a demon there behind all that. You got to go. I rebuke the spirit. I break the power of all cancer of the bone, all tumors. Colon cancer, skin cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer. I command you to go. Ovarian cancer, uterine cancers, all of the cancer spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Prostate cancer, incidentally, my family, long history of prostate cancer. Trace my family on my dad's side all the way back to France and Germany. And what Jerry helped me with was we agreed that had to do it. Our father didn't bless the seed. So that caused us not to be able to reproduce, because once the prostate is removed, you can't reproduce. Okay. So you need to get the father's blessing. You need to get your dad to kiss you. Because some of you can't do it, so you have to have the pastor do that, whatever. Okay. All right. So my dad likes kissing me. I don't know. He's got into it now. All right. Degenerative disease, all spirits come out. Alcoholism spirits come out. All anemia, toxemia of the blood. Tonsillitis spirits, kidney infections, stones, go. We just smash you with the Word of God. You go in Jesus' name. Sinus problems, you go in Jesus' name. PMS, you go. Fibromyalgia, you go in Jesus' name. All the MPD, or multiple personality disorders, you go. Post-traumatic stress disorder, you go in Jesus' name. Migraines, you go in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All our heart problems and heart attack and fear and all those spirits, panic attack, all the phobias, you go in Jesus' name. Stroke spirits, I rebuke you. You control demon, you go in Jesus' name. Aneurysm, you go in Jesus' name. Now I take authority of all the spirits attacking. I apologize for the time. I'm just going to stop. Spirits attacking the endocrine system, the limbic system, cardiovascular system, the pulmonary system, the immune system, the gastrointestinal system, the genitorial system, the central nervous system, and the respiratory system. I rebuke you in Jesus' name, command you to go in Jesus' name. Now, I need to stop because I believe it's submitted to authority. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to do this quietly under your breath.
We all know our issues, right? I got one toe on my left toe that I've been working with, cleaned it up because the toenail won't grow properly. And then I had some problems with my back, but I got a prophetic word when I was in Tyler about 3 or 4 weeks ago that God was healing me. And I said I was like this, but I was teaching. Nobody knew it. Because I didn't want to go to no pity thing, you know. But anyway, so whatever it is that's affecting you quietly, all right, we're going to give it before the Lord. That way I can't call off everything in this afternoon session, right? So before the Lord, Father, we just come before you right now. This is the issue that we know that you revealed to us that we're having problems in our physical body. We just petition you before you right now, Father. I got a problem with
the Lord, bad Father, this toe right now, sickness and stuff like that.
Now, Father, you've heard the word of your disciples, and they've petitioned before you, as we have repented, Father, of the sins that we know of and things that we don't know. We ask that you would bring it to our remembrance and show us, God. But we confess this, and we know infirmity is not a part of your work. Father, the finished works of Calvary have destroyed infirmity. So we take those things that we have said before you, God, these things where we have been afflicted, Father, we nail it to the cross right now, Father. And Father, I stand before the people of God and I speak healing. We be restored. We be renewed. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and command you to go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Now, I encourage you with a testimony. I was teaching in the church right before the storm in another city. And the man that was introducing me, I remember him because he was always a little bit too aggressive. I said, I couldn't believe the pastor's use. I say, he's changed. And I like that. Pastors like to see people to change. I thought he was real disciplined. He wasn't that same old. I said, man, he's changed. I said, praise God. I can't remember his name, but I remembered him. And he stood there and said, well, I want y'all to know I met Pastor. I said, well, maybe he hasn't changed. I ain't going to take credit. But he wasn't doing that, you know. He said, and about 2 years ago, I brought a lady over to his church, and she was supposed to get a heart transplant. Yes. And I never knew this. And so we broke the curses. I told her what she needed to repent of. We prayed for her. I don't know how many hours. She went to Houston, and the doctor told her, that was the first time I heard it in 2 years, that there's nothing wrong with your heart. The swelling has gone down. You don't need a new heart. Amen. So God heals. God heard us today. Amen. And so walk away with your victory. Amen. May God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.